king. He is robed in majesty. Our readings today give us visions of thrones and the Lord coming on the clouds, and I can only imagine that this is going to be filled with trumpets and fanfare and incense and all kinds of processions. There's going to be joyful noise when the King of Kings arrives. But my friends, in order to understand this feast that comes to us today, the feast of Christ the King, and these visions that we have from the book of the prophet Daniel and from St. John in the last book, the Revelation, we have to understand something earlier that happens in the scriptures. So I want to take us back this morning to the first book of Samuel. If you recall the story of Samuel, Samuel as a young boy, he was taken into the temple with Eli. And the Lord spoke to Samuel in those great words just by calling his name, Samuel, Samuel. And the young boy doesn't know what's happening, so he runs to Eli and he says, yes, Lord, you called me. And Eli is the one who's confused. He's like, no, I didn't call you, Samuel. Go back to sleep. And then as the story unfolds, we realize that the Lord is calling Samuel to be the one to speak to God's people. And so the Lord chooses Samuel to be the voice of God for all of the people Israel. And so Israel, for many years, they are able to listen to Samuel and heed the words that come to them from the Lord through the prophet Samuel. But then Samuel becomes an old man, and he knows that his days are limited. And so he knows that he must choose a successor to come after him to continue leading the people so they can continue to grow in holiness and continue to serve the Lord. And so Samuel chooses his two sons. His two sons have been with him his whole life. He thinks, well, these would be natural choices. But the people are not satisfied. No. If it's not going to be Samuel, we're not going to take his second-rate sons. We need someone else to lead us. And so Samuel, he gathers all the people together at this place called Ramah. And the people start making demands of Samuel. They say, well, Samuel, if you're going to be dying soon, we want you to give us a king. A king is what we want. And here's what they say. They say, give us a king like all the other nations. Like all the other nations. Like everybody else. Because you see, what the people have forgotten is that the people have forgotten that the Lord has done extraordinary things for them. The Lord has brought them out of slavery in Egypt. The Lord has fed them with manna in the desert when they were hungry. The Lord has brought water from the rock when they were thirsty. The Lord has driven out all of their enemies before them and brought them into the promised land. And he has appointed people to be his prophets to them. And basically what they're saying is, Lord, that's not good enough for us. We want a king. Because we're looking out at all these other people, and they all have kings. Kings are powerful. Kings are mighty. Kings have honor and authority. We want that too. So Samuel, he goes back to the Lord in prayer, and he says, Lord, what am I to do? These people are asking for a king, but we know, or at least I know that you are the king. The law that you have given us, the Ten Commandments, that's supposed to rule our lives, not an earthly person. And what I find is one of the saddest moments in the scriptures is when God speaks back to Samuel and he says, give them what they want. God gives in. God says to Samuel, give the people what they want. They want to be like everybody else, then just let them be like everybody else. And so they get a king. They get King Saul, and then King David, and then King Solomon. There's all these kings throughout the Old Testament. Some of them good, many of them not so good as well. And eventually the kingdom becomes divided as you follow the Old Testament scriptures. But here's the thing, my friends. Even though God has allowed the people to just have whatever they want, God is not finished with them. Because God is never finished with us. God is always working on us, and God is always shaping in our hearts to come back to himself. because he knows that in the depths of our hearts, we don't want to be just like everybody else. To be a Christian, my friends, is not to just be like everybody else. And so God keeps his promises, and the promises that he gives in the Old Testament are continued into the New Testament. And when he says, I will raise up an heir, I will raise up my own son, the son of David will come to them and he will reign forever. And so in the Old Testament, we hear from the prophet Daniel, who has this vision of the Son of Man coming upon the clouds. And then St. John sees this final revelation at the end of time, again, with the Son of Man coming in the clouds, the one who is and who was and who is to come, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Jesus, who is not like just everybody else. Jesus is not like everyone else, because not only is he a human being like you and me, but he is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He is God enfleshed among us. And so when we come to our gospel passage today, this is what Pontius Pilate cannot understand. He cannot understand how this person, Jesus, who stands before him, is proclaimed to be a king. Because Pilate is thinking like everybody else. A king is someone who is mighty, who is powerful, who has honor and titles and authority, who no one will try to come across in a negative way. But now here's Jesus standing condemned before him. He doesn't look anything like a king. And Pilate is just dumbfounded. He's confused. He's flabbergasted who this Jesus is. How could Jesus be a king? And so Jesus says to Pilate, my kingdom does not belong to this world. My kingdom, my kingship is not like everybody else's. And so, my friends, that is the invitation for us to reflect upon today. Is what does it mean to come before Jesus, the King of Kings, whose kingdom is not like any other kingdom that we could ever experience in this life? Jesus, who comes to us as a king wearing a crown of thorns, whose throne is the cross, who was born in obscurity, raised in poverty, had to flee for his life at a young age, who St. Paul says did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at, but he came to us taking the form of a slave. My friends, a king does not take the form of a slave, but Jesus Christ takes the form of a slave, because he comes for you, and he comes for me, and he comes for every single person saying, I'm here to save you. I'm here to be with you. I'm here to bring you the love and compassion and the mercy of God, because God is not finished with you yet. God is not finished. And so Jesus, he humbles himself. He humbles himself. He is the one who at the Last Supper puts a towel around his waist and he kneels down in front of his disciples. The one who confuses St. Peter, because Peter's like, Lord, you will not wash my feet. And the Lord says, Peter, yes, I will. And unless you learn to wash other people's feet, you cannot be my disciple. Because, my friends, the true image of a king is the king who serves, the king who bends low, the king who does not grasp titles and authority and honor, but receives them anyway because of his loving devotion to his people. And so, my friends, on this feast of Christ the King, we are invited to welcome Jesus once more into our hearts as, yes, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the one who is and who was and who is to come, but the one who also shows us the model for service, the one who shows us the model of what it means to reach out to our neighbor who is in need, the one who shows us the model to resist anger and frustration and judgment and resentment in our lives, because Jesus says that a king is not like that. And my friends, from the moment of our baptism, we have been anointed priest, prophet, and king. You are a priest, a prophet, and a king. And we meet Jesus in this liturgy also as priest, prophet, and king, that we can be welcomed into Jesus' kingdom both now and for the end of the ages, for all time. And it begins with this Eucharist today. So my friends, let us joyfully acclaim Christ our King, the one who is robed in majesty, as we receive the King into our very hands, into our very mouths, into our very bodies, so that we can be transformed into what we receive each and every day. So my friends, we give glory and praise to Jesus Christ, who is the King of our lives, the King of the universe. And we say, we will not be like everyone else. We will be not like any other kingdom that's out there, because Jesus is the one King above all the others.